This is Christoph Kassoon, and you're listening to Navigating Diversity, where we explore how human beings differ, yet can find ways to relate to one another in an increasingly xenophobic socio-political climate. Today, I am joined by Julie Raymond, a doctoral student in political science at Idaho State. Julie has a background in cultural anthropology and is working towards a career in environmental administration. This year, Julie will be attending her fifth Conference of Parties, the Supreme International Decision-Making Body for Climate Policy, which will be taking place December 2nd through the 13th in Santiago, Chile. Our topic today is climate change and its implications for our understanding of diversity. Let's navigate this together. Hi, Julie.
Hi.
How are you doing today?
Really great.
Good. I'm so grateful you wanted to come into the studio with me today to talk about this topic. Humanity is currently facing its greatest challenge,
right?
The greatest crisis.
Mm-hmm.
We have entire islands disappearing.
Yes.
We have ice caps melting at unprecedented rates, wildlife going extinct every day, you name it. And the research is out there. And if you don't believe this is happening, do a little bit more research and figure it out, because this is something that we have to address now. And it's been an issue that's kind of been on the table for a long time, but things kind of seem to be heating up again. We have a lot of protests.
Yeah.
There was a protest in Pocatello just this past week for climate change. And my concern with the climate change issue is that it's an issue that affects every single person, despite your race, despite your gender, how much money you have, where you live in the world, at some point it's going to catch up to you. So what does this mean for how we can address climate change?
Well, you mentioned in your intro that how everyone is affected by it. And that's the thing with international climate change. It is an international issue because we are impacted by environmental conditions from other countries. You can't contain an environmental issue within geopolitical borders, rivers, streams, air. It's all moving.
Exactly.
And so what you do in one country affects another. And we have to make agreements on how we're going to behave and what we're going to value as an international community so that this generation that's already being impacted and future generations have at least as good a chances at living well as we do.
Right.
At least.
At the very, very least.
At the very least.
I like how you talked about climate change in terms of nation-state borders, because it was really only until after World War II where countries set up these very hard political geographic borders and said, this is the line between me and you, right?
Right.
But now climate change, as you said, is something that is crossing borders. So we really kind of have to change our perceptions of sovereignty. We can't keep thinking that this piece of land is my land and every other person's piece of land is theirs and we don't interact anymore. So I really think to address climate change, we're going to have our global leaders really reassess. Is it important that we have this much sovereignty as individual countries?
Well, I think another way to look at that is you don't have sovereignty without a stable climate.
Agreed.
Because we end up with massive migration across borders as people become refugees due to climate conditions. If they're forced to migrate, obviously they're better off if they're refugees within their own country. But if they have to cross a border, then we're faced with an international crisis. And often these are things that we can see coming, but it seems like we don't prepare as well. It's like we're dealing with it as it occurs instead of heading it off. And the climate agreements are intended to help us not reach a point of massive crisis like that.
Right.
But to work together now ahead of massive crisis when we have more plasticity of decisions we can make instead of being faced with a crisis right in front of our noses.
Right. Yeah. And the most difficult part is who enforces these climate policies, right? It's really up to each individual country to sign on and then incorporate it into their national policies.
Yeah.
There is no international government that anybody answers to, which is why it makes it extremely difficult to kind of address these global problems.
Yeah. I think at the international level, we're really dealing with a high level of free agency
yes.
from the countries, which requires responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
That is a responsibility to your neighbor countries and to the citizens of your own country.
Right, and just to the world and to yourself as
right.
a human being.
Yeah. The United Nations is a convening body. It's not an enforcement
mm-hmm.
body. And
I think a lot of the times people get that mixed up
yes.
and they say, well, why is the UN doing more? Why is this group not doing more internationally?
Right, yeah.
Right, they mm-hmm. have no power.
Right. Political power still rests with the nations.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. So I think it'll be really interesting in these next few years to see how that changes and
uh-huh.
how climate change might completely overhaul our international system and the way countries perceive each other and
right.
how those borders are drawn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. Food is just one issue we could look at because
mm-hmm.
everyone needs to eat and drink on the planet. Whether you live on less than $1 a day or you
still have to eat.
$10,000 a minute coming into your account, right?
Exactly.
Everyone has to eat and drink. All beings, as a matter of fact, trees, animals, everything must eat and drink.
Yeah.
And the way we distribute food and the way food is grown, where it's grown, becomes an issue for everyone in the context of climate change.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, we live in such a globalized climate today.
Right.
Right. So many of our economies are interdependent.
Right.
There's so much coordination and communication that has to happen across borders to sustain our society today.
Mm-hmm.
I also feel individuals take on this responsibility of I have to do what I can in my community, right?
Right.
And
that's a great motivation.
It's a great
mm-hmm.
motivation, and I fully agree with it. I think individuals should, you know, try to reduce their waste, try
right.
to take those small steps in their own communities
mm-hmm.
to help the problem. And at the same time, it's a systemic problem too. I think
yes, absolutely.
We have to put more pressure on the corporations that are producing the pollution, on the government that is not regulating this pollution.
Oh, right. Yeah,
right?
Right, yeah.
So we have
yeah.
to make sure we're balancing our individual action with collective, with societal pressures on
right.
our institutions.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Climate change mitigation and problem solving is definitely an issue of scale.
Yes,
right?
Issue of scale.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So the United Nations looks at the problems differently than your neighbor will.
Mm-hmm.
And what can be done at those scales is also just as relevant to the scope of what the entity can accomplish.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
You can have to tackle it at all levels.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, and that is part of working together.
Right, absolutely.
Right, from the single
right.
citizen in our little backyard cleaning up a river
right.
to the highest level of government that is signing
mm-hmm.
the law that's polluting the river.
Mm-hmm.
Those things have to start, we have to reconcile those two.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
And collaborative solutions don't impede individual agency.
Agreed.
Because when you're collaborating, both parties or a multiple group of parties are agreeing upon a projected outcome or a desired outcome.
Mm-hmm.
And it just seems to me that we are empowered by our collaborative decisions.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we make better decisions
right.
in numbers,
mm-hmm.
right? More information,
right.
more communication,
yeah.
more human experiences
mm-hmm.
that we can all relate to.
Right. And there's suffering that you can't mitigate. Like if a family member dies, a person will suffer, and there may not be anything we can do to assist that person. But in the context of climate change, this is either a decision to assist or walk away from
mm-hmm.
the suffering of individuals. And you mentioned island states at the beginning of your dialogue,
mm-hmm.
and I am very concerned for them. When I go listen to them at the Conference of Parties, these nations are not asking for the right to survive. They're concerned about existing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
yeah.
So their countries may not exist. Where will they go? What country is going to take them on?
Right.
Yeah.
What happened to all those people?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think it's really important for people to understand that climate change really is something that defeats how we think about diversity.
Yes.
There really is no, I'm this race and you're that race. I'm this identity marker and you're that
yeah.
identity marker.
Mm-hmm.
I have more money than you, I have more education than you. All of that is completely useless.
Yeah.
Really and truly, when we talk about how we're going to address climate change, because
yeah.
every single one of us causes it and every single one of us will be affected by it.
I think we're dealing with what I call vestigial presumptions,
mm-hmm.
In that in some ways people do process their reality or a nation's reality in terms of a former era.
Right.
In other words, when there were limitless frontiers or resources were not discovered or the population was a fraction of what it is now.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So when you talk about a water crisis in California in the Paleolithic, it didn't have 27 million people in California. drawing on the water resources. So
right.
then the condition happens, and then we also impact it. So anthropogenic climate change is a very real thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you can look at the isotopes. We can talk about all of that.
Yeah.
But in the end, it comes down to what are we going to do?
As human beings.
Yeah, and we have the choices now.
Yeah.
If it's right in our face, we don't have as many choices.
Thank you so much, Lee.
Yeah, you're welcome.
For being in here with me today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Navigating Diversity is a weekly series airing at 7:35 a.m. on Fridays on KISU-FM. Join us next week as we continue to navigate diversity and explore how we can treat each other better in our own communities. To listen and find more information on all episodes, visit kisu.org/programs/navigatingdiversity.